It's good to want what you want. It's your path to want what you want. It is your full self-expression to want what you want. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of the Unstoppable Woman movement. This Mindset Mastery series on the podcast comes to you every Saturday morning and takes what we discuss in the Morning Mindset Club, compiles it into one easy to access recording, and gives you bonus content at the end that fleshes out one key concept in much more detail. Now, this bonus content is not to be missed. If you're already a part of the Morning Mindset Club, listening to this material a second or even a third time will really lock in the learning for you. If you haven't yet joined us in the Morning Mindset Club, we'd love to have you, and it's free. There's no charge to join. And you will receive this material in short, daily snippets as they come out every morning, along with a specific implementation practice and mastery check-in. It's a full success consciousness program that for the time being is totally free. You can find it at theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. With that, let's dive in and get started. Continuing this chapter on desire, we reach the story of Marshall Field and the Chicago Fire. So in summary, this story says, this real nonfiction tale, if you will, describes how there's this huge fire in Chicago where everything has burned down. And a group of merchants are standing looking at the smoking remains of their stores, and they have a conference. And all of them decide to pick up and leave, that it's not worth rebuilding in Chicago. All except one, Marshall Field. And he says to his compatriots, "Gentlemen, on that very spot, I will build the world's greatest store, no matter how many times it may burn down." So let's take a look at this. The outcome of this, in case you don't know about Marshall Field, is that he built an empire of department stores and was a huge financial success. So in that moment, when he stood there looking at the smoking remains of his past store, he was able to see something that no one else there could see: potential, possibility, opportunity. That's huge. What can you see that no one else can see? And then the next thing he did was he made a committed decision, emphatically. It wasn't just a wish. It wasn't just a hope. It wasn't light. It was a committed decision. It wasn't a decision that he was going to change in a little bit. It was a committed decision. Yes, I've repeated that three times. Repetition is the mother of skill. So repeating things, hearing things again and again, you will hear me say many of the same things throughout this teaching of Think and Grow Rich, because you'll hear it from a different angle, from a different level of awareness. We need the repetition. In fact, we need the constant space repetition, meaning that continuous frequency, to get a new idea into our belief system so that we can actually act on it. It's not a one-time deal. So, committed decision. Now, in addition to committed decision and seeing opportunity, he said it out loud to the other merchants standing there. So what did that do? It created accountability. It meant that he had spoken it out loud. It was his word. He gave his word. That meant that his integrity was at stake. That meant that even if those merchants never came back to Chicago to see what he was up to, he would know that he said this and meant it. And if he was good to his word, he was going to do it. Now, this is a big thing for people. People say they're going to do things all the time and don't follow through. You have to build that muscle. You have to build that muscle of trust. Now, we don't I don't see the people that come to work with me, my clients, saying, oh, I'm going to give my word and then not keep it. No one sets out with that intention. What happens is that fear comes up. Something challenging comes up. Something hard comes up. There seems to be more pain associated with doing it than not doing it. And so they back down. And then they create a habit of not keeping their word. And then they don't trust themselves to keep their word. And then it becomes too painful, more painful, to make a committed decision to yourself because you don't trust yourself. You think you're going to break your word. This sets you up for failure because you must be good to your word. So that's one of the things that you need to learn how to transform for yourself and really break through. I'm going to go on to this next section where Hill says, every human being who reaches the age of understanding of the purpose of money wishes for it. Wishing will not bring riches, but desiring riches with a state of mind that becomes an obsession, then planning definite ways and means to acquire riches and backing those plans with persistence, which does not recognize failure, will bring riches. Okay, this paragraph is so chopped full of important pieces here. He says, wishing will not bring riches. Yes, that is the first stage, okay? Everyone who understands the purpose of money wishes for it. Okay, that's not hard to wrap your mind around. Most people wish for more money. But wishing will not bring riches. And that's because it's not a strategy. It's not enough. It doesn't have the feeling, the emotive state behind it. Desire is causative. Desire has that full committed want behind it. Okay? He says, desiring riches with a state of mind that becomes an obsession. You have to really want it. You cannot have double binds behind it saying, oh, I want it only if, you know, this doesn't happen or this doesn't happen or has to be like this or not like this. You can't have a confused desire, a diluted desire. You must have a committed, passionate, obsessive desire. And then, of course, he says you need to back those with plans and persistence. We're going to get into those in a lot more detail in a little bit. Those are whole chapters on that. But I want to just underscore them now. Both are very important. So plans are the definite, he's saying planning definite ways and means. So that those are the plans, okay? The ways and the means. Now, here's a key component. The desire comes first. You have to make the committed decision. You have to want it. And then you have to make the committed decision. And it's only then that the ways and means for how to achieve it come through, not before. But people won't commit. People won't really own their desires until they see the ways and means. And then they're stuck. They're trapped because that's not the creative process. That's not how to actualize your goals. That's not how to achieve. And so many people get stuck here. I'll do that. I'm in. Yes, I really want that. I'm going to go for it next year when I have the money. I'm really going to do it. I'm going to break through. I'm going to go talk to that person. I'm going to tell that guy I love him and I want to spend the rest of my life with him. When I hear that he loves me first. It doesn't work that way, guys. It doesn't work that way. You have to be all in. You have to make the decision and then the ways and means show up and then you have to act on them. Be persistent around it. Okay? So, now, more. He says, you have to do that. Back those plans with persistence. Without recognizing failure. This is so important. Here's where people get really messed up. They want something And then they start thinking about all the ways it could go wrong. They start expecting it not to work. There's two poles to manifesting something in the 3D world. Desire is one side, expectation is the other. You have to have both. If you only have that obsessed desire, but then you start expecting it not to work and start recognizing failure, you won't get what you want. You must block your mind to failure. Now, this does not mean that you don't play out different scenarios and come up with, you know, ways to mitigate for potential challenges in your business. Okay? But you never see the possibility that you might fail. That's just not an option. You don't recognize it. So if you're recognizing that, pay attention. You must put a halt to that. You must. Okay. Up next, we are going to go into the methodology by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent. The place you've always been waiting for, the point that you want, the thing you've been waiting for, right? Finally, he tells me. Okay, this is the methodology, you guys. I'm calling this out. This is super important. Pay attention. Write it down. Do this work, right? So it's a methodology, and pay attention to it. Now, we're only on, in my book, page 26. So you can imagine what gets to happen if you stick through this with me every day, every morning, going through the rest of this book. It becomes deeper. You get it at a deeper level. You understand it. You start putting things in play that you could have not seen before, but it requires going deep with this material. So this is an important section, and you need to continue to learn. Without that, you'll go off track. You'll do it only temporarily. Okay, so let's break this down. This is such juicy stuff. So the first step, fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. It is not sufficient merely to say, I want plenty of money. Be definite as to the amount. There is a psychological reason for definiteness, which will be described in a subsequent chapter. Okay, so this is hugely important. Okay, you do need to be definite here, okay? So often, I have found when talking to people, and this is part of the process, so it's I don't want to say it's totally fine because I don't want to let you off the hook, but I also want you to know that it's normal and not you're not alone in this experience. If you cannot be definite right now with what you want, work on it, okay? You, generally speaking, what happens is that when I ask someone what they really truly desire, let's say that they want to make a certain amount of money or they're going for making more money, and they say, I want financial freedom. And I'm like, okay, how much? What does that look like? And they can't put a number to it. Now, there's all sorts of methodologies that I take people through to help them get to that and articulate it. It doesn't take very long. But generally speaking, it comes because it's not safe for you to own your desires, what you truly want, okay? At some point in your upbringing, it became more painful to own your desires than to do what other people thought was best and right. So you lost the trust in owning your own desires, wanting what you wanted. And I'm here to say, it's good to want what you want. It's your path to want what you want. It is your full self-expression to want what you want. Wanting what someone else wants is living their life, not yours. And that's what keeps you feeling trapped and small. And yet there's this double bind because you feel like you're going to lose something. Your programming says that if you want what you want, that bad thing that happened in your childhood is going to happen again. You're going to lose love, safety, and belonging. So it becomes a challenge. How that said, keep this in mind and just ask yourself, so what do you really want? What do you really want? And let the first thing that comes to you, before you negate it, before you push it away, before you deny it, let that be what you want. Write that number down. Maybe it was crazy. That's okay. Maybe it was bigger than what you possibly thought was you were entitled to or you could possibly earn. That's okay. Write it down. It's what you want. Let it be. Let it be. Maybe you want to make your annual income your monthly income. Maybe you want to make your annual income your weekly income. How sexy is that? Maybe you want to make double the amount you're making now. Whatever it is, you choose it. Be definite about it. Put a clear number there. To the cent. Might be a round number. Maybe it's 5 million. Maybe it's 1 million. Maybe it's 500K. Maybe it's 10 million. Maybe it's 25 million. But maybe it's 1,375,064.36, right? Maybe it's that specific. Whatever goal you give your mind and set it on a course to achieve, and follow the rest of these six steps, you will get. Isn't that freaking amazing? Now, I'm going to be super abundantly clear with you. It took me a lot of work getting through my double binds, the places where I wanted to believe this, but I had contradictory beliefs that kept me from executing on this, kept me from believing, kept me from doing the work. All sorts of things got in my way. I had to do a huge amount of transformational work to get to the place where doing this works like a freaking charm. Now, I don't want that to discourage you. I want that to be like a carrot, right? You got to start somewhere. And it can happen faster than you ever thought possible in record time. But it can't if you don't start. So I encourage you, start with step one. What is the definite, exact amount of money you desire? Tell me that. We are now on to the second step in the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent. Step two, determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. There is no such reality as something for nothing. So there's two ways to look at what you are going to give. One is the service that you're going to provide. What is the actual service that you are going to give in return for money? So service, product, you had to put something into that product. That was a service in the development of it, the invention of it, the creation of it, the time and effort that it went into it. Like, what is the thing that you are going to give, the service or the product, in exchange for money? That is one way of looking at this. So you have to be clear about that. You need to have something that you are going to exchange. And please don't tell me it's your hours for dollars, okay? More on that some other time. And then the next bit is that this service that you're providing has a value to it. And the value must exceed the cash value that you receive in return. So is what you're giving, the service or product that you're selling, Does it have more cash value, have more value, intrinsic value, value that it provides your client or customer more than what you are receiving financially for it? And this would be in terms of the unseen benefits. The straight up benefits, of course, that counts. Let's say you're a counselor, a therapist, and the immediate benefit of someone coming to you is you help them feel less lonely, and because they have someone to talk to. But the bigger benefit is that they become more confident in their lives, and then they're able to be more successful in talking to other people, and that allows them to create relationships, which then allows them to get a better paying job and get into a more loving relationship and be a better parent and all sorts of follow-on benefits. That's a huge unseen value and benefit that's not necessarily there at the surface, but it far exceeds the price of admission. So you want to think in terms of confidence, hope, beliefs, the feelings that allow people to do more with their lives. What are all the benefits of someone knowing, for instance, when they work with me, what are the benefits of knowing the creative process and how to achieve any goal that you put your mind to? Because that's ultimately what I'm teaching my clients through this process of achieving their goals. They tell me how much money they want to make. They tell me what their business model is, or they tell me what goal that they want to achieve. Let's say they want to sell their script, or they want to be in the movies, or they want to win an Olympic gold medal, or they want to be on stage doing a certain thing, or they whatever the goal is. If you know how to create that, and you learn that methodology, and you get the confidence and belief to do it again and again and again, how does that change your life? That's freaking priceless, right? At least it has been for me. Learning this has transformed my life, because now I'm free. I'm no longer trapped by beliefs that keep me feeling small or not understanding how to create whatever amount of money or whatever goal I want in my life. That's insecurity, not knowing that. Having that security, that's priceless. Then you're set for the rest of your life, okay? So that's what I mean by what value are you providing? So there's the service that you're giving, or the product that you're giving, implied in the product is service. And then there is the value or the benefit of that far exceeds the immediate use. Okay, so what is that for you? Ask yourself that question. Take a few notes here. Journal on this. Post in the Facebook group. Right? This is so critical, guys. Now we move on to the third step in the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent. And that third step is to establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. Yes, you need a definite date. You do. Otherwise, you fill the space, okay? You'll take as much time as you want. There's no urgency there. Human beings need deadlines. It's a strange thing. And yet, we do. We need, it's like having a goal. The time period gives your brain, your mind, a place to point to and say, oh, that's what we're going for. Without that definite goal of a date by which you're going to attain your financial goal, your mind doesn't have a clear direction within which to work. So it's going to zig and zag and zig and zag and zig and zag and go in spirals in different places. No, Do not allow for that. Pick a definite date. Now, this is where people get all confused because they haven't mastered this process. And we don't know in advance how long something is going to take. When we are transmuting an idea into a physical manifestation, that is a spiritual process. That is a spiritual seed that is growing into something in the 3D world. And when we get good at this, we have a better idea of how much effort, how long it's going to take, what we have to do, all of that. And we've mastered these skills. But that takes starting. And when you're first starting out, you have no idea how long a spiritual seed is going to take to make manifest. And even as you get really good at this, there are still things that you won't know how long it's going to take, yet you have to pick the date. Now, most people won't pick their due date because they're afraid of disappointing themselves. And this causes so much confusion. This causes so much confusion. The pain of disappointment keeps you, people move away from pain, keeps you from moving towards what you want by not giving yourself a clear directive. So if you don't know how long something's going to take, guess, and then be decisive about it. Okay. Now, most people tend to overestimate what they can get done in a day and underestimate what they can get done in a month or a year. And then they underestimate what they can get done in a year and They overestimate what can be done in a year and underestimate what can be done in a decade. Time is funny that way. Okay. So pick a time frame that's far enough out for you that you think that it's possible, that it's truly possible. You have to have belief in it. Okay? You must have belief in it. But don't make it so far out that there's no urgency. It also has to have urgency. When I first was learning this, I picked $1 million in a year. It scared the bejeebers out of me. I had no idea how to do that. It also was extraordinarily exciting. It got me out of bed in the morning. But it also, in some ways, was a little far off, okay? To be honest. But it was what I could hold in my mind. And that year, I went from making $138K to $700K. I didn't get to $1 million. Now, I am not complaining, but at the time, I felt that sting, that pain of disappointment. I missed the mark. I did not get there. But you know what? I went for it. And if I hadn't have gone for it, I wouldn't have 5x my income. I wouldn't have gotten to 700K. And trust me, that was pretty freaking awesome. And once I got over my little pity party, I was pretty excited for what I had achieved. But I wouldn't have achieved that if I hadn't set such a big goal, a stretch goal, something I talk about a lot, something I teach on. You need to create stretch goals, and your timeline can be a stretch goal too, meaning you can move it closer and stretch yourself that way by closing the gap on time. Okay? And this creates some urgency. So now, I still love having annual goals. They happen to be a little bit bigger now, and they get me excited, and they scare the pants off of me still in a very positive way. And then the ways and the means come in. Okay. So having that date is super important. One thing that you can do, and this is, you want goals that are 1-year goals. You probably want 3-year goals, 5-year goals, 10-year goals, but don't get too confused by that. I love working with 1-year goals and then breaking it down to monthly goals, okay? And then, of course, I have my daily things that I want to accomplish. Those are little mini goals, okay? And I'm always pushing the envelope on that, okay? Stretching myself. So pick a date by which you want to possess the money you desire. It will scare you. It will get you a little nervous. Breathe into it. The difference between fear and excitement is breath. So breathe into it and write it down. Now moving on to the fourth step in the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent. This fourth step is to create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you are ready or not, to put this plan into action. Oh, so many things to say here. So, first up, so often I see people getting ready to get ready to get ready. Okay, they just put off starting. This has to happen first, then this has to happen, then this has to happen. I need to do this first, or so-and-so has to give me the okay, or I need this kind of permission, or when this is done, I can do that. These are all alibis and excuses. This is getting ready to get ready to get ready, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Let me say it again. It doesn't work. I'm telling you. And you can look at your life, and how did the getting ready to get ready to get ready work for you? It was just a distraction. It just prolonged the time it took for you to start working on your true goals, the things that you really know that you really want. Let that sink in. And look at where this has become clear for you in your life. People take training courses or get degrees or say that the kids have to be out of the house and in college, or the new job has to start, or once they complete this job, then they'll do it, or when it's summertime, or when it's the holidays. And then other people use the reverse. I can't do it because of summertime. I can't do it because of the holidays. And so many women, oh my God, I see this all the time, use both of those excuses. Okay? If this is you, I'm calling you out lovingly. Not because I want to make you wrong or bad. That's not it. No guilt, no shame. But just to hold a light up to this process of getting ready to get ready. No, you must start at once. You must begin at once, whether you're ready to or not. No one is ever ready to make a big leap in their life. Because if they were ready, they would have already done it. Okay? You, by definition, you won't feel ready. And yet, you have to put your plan into action. Okay? So, and this is about, I call it the mic approach, because it amplifies your life. It turns the switch on. It exponentially enlivens everything like a microphone. And this is to take massive, immediate, continuous action. Okay? So that's what it means to begin at once. Okay? So we can look at this in a number of different ways. He says, create a definite plan for carrying out your desire. So begin that at once. Just start creating the plan. Don't wait. Don't say till tomorrow. Don't say later today. Listen to this and create your plan. What are the things that drop in right now? Start those now. Start writing it out now and start doing it now. Okay? And what is the massive action that you're going to take? What is the immediate action you're going to take? And what's the continuous action you're going to take? Write all of those down and start them immediately. Get into action. Action is key. Okay, now we're going to move on to the fifth step in the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent. The fifth step is to write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you intend to acquire, name the time limit for its acquisition, state what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. So this is basically a summary of the first four steps, but you're writing it out. So to be abundantly clear here, you must write it out. It doesn't count if you just think about it. It doesn't count if you say, oh yeah, I already thought about that, or I already did that. No, 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 no. I lovingly say no. You must write it out. Okay? You must write it out. And it needs to be clear and concise. This is not a 5-paragraph description. It's a 1-to-2-sentence description. Write out clearly and concisely a statement about the amount of money you intend to acquire, the time period for its acquisition, what you intend to give in return for the money, and the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. The top level plan, okay? Not all the details. That's a 5-paragraph thing. Okay? We're not looking for your business, your entire business plan here. We're just looking for the basic way that you are going to do this. And then step 6 in the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent is to read your statement aloud twice daily, once just before retiring at night and once after arising in the morning. As you read, see and feel and believe yourself already in possession of the money. This is so important. And this is a critical, critical piece. Now, let's break this last step down into some key components. 1, you're doing it morning and night at least twice a day. Andrew Carnegie gave Napoleon Hill an assignment, a mantra, an affirmation that Hill thought was crazy. Basically, Andrew Carnegie said, and he was the richest man by far of that time period, said that Hill was going to pass him in the number of millionaires he's made. That would be his importance in life, because Andrew Carnegie had already made many people who worked for him millionaires. And Napoleon Hill, this young journalist without much experience, thought that was crazy. But Carnegie gave him a mantra and said, read it in the morning, read it in the evening, and do it for 30 days straight while you look at yourself in the mirror. And Hill initially says that he barely whispered it. He felt very foolish doing it. But he got bolder and bolder. And by the end of 30 days, he knew without a shadow of a doubt that this was going to be true. And it is absolutely true. This book, in writing this book, it has made more millionaires than any other book in an existence. By far more millionaires than Andrew Carnegie has made. It keeps making millionaires after Hill has passed away. And he absolutely surpassed Carnegie in this way. Probably pleasing Carnegie to no end, because that is exactly what he wanted when he commissioned Hill, unpaid commission, by the way, Hill, to develop this success formula. So, are you going to read it twice a day? Will you read it while looking at yourself in the mirror, seeing yourself as that person in the mirror, but also seeing yourself and imagining yourself in that place, having already achieved what you desire to achieve. Because when you see it and feel it, you start believing it. And the repetition, the constant space repetition, is so important here. So it's powerful to read it in the morning to yourself when you wake up and when you go to sleep at night, right before you go to sleep. I think it's even more powerful to read it to yourself when you're facing yourself in the mirror. You could even tape your concise statement up to the mirror so that it reminds you to read it every morning and every evening, just like brushing your teeth. Okay? So this is a critical piece to the plan here, guys. Will you do it? Will you follow all six steps? How quickly will you do that? Will you delay? Will you distract yourself? Or will you do it right now, today? That's what I suggest you do, right now, today. Let's now dive into some bonus content for you. I'd like to talk to you about committed decisions. Most people don't know how to make a committed decision. People decide to do things all the time, but then come up with convenient excuses, all sorts of excuses about why they couldn't follow through on it. Let's be clear here. What you're doing is wishing or hoping. This is not a decision. A decision is a commitment that you will do whatever it takes to make something happen, no matter what. Now, I'm not saying whatever it takes, go kill someone. I'm saying whatever it takes you to move past your blocks in order to execute on what you know is required for you to achieve what you said you were going to do, be, or have. A decision is a commitment that you will make something happen no matter what. No matter what. Let me say it again. No matter what. If you say you're going to do something, you do it to the best of your ability. You remain good to your word. This is such a challenge for people, and it's a muscle that needs to be built. And it starts today immediately. You cannot put this off, okay? And it's one of the things that, you know, I've worked with many, many people on. We do the commitment challenge at times, and it is so important to build that muscle for yourself that you will do what you said you were going to do. Because in order to get different results, achieve the goal you so strongly desire, you must continuously, consistently better your best. Okay? You must do your best, and then you must better your best. And those things happen on the regular. It's not like do your best every day without growing. You want to be bettering your best every day, every time you engage, multiple times a day. Most people cruise along doing and thinking exactly what they've always done or thought. This is not going to get you different results. This is going to get you the same or similar results. And please realize that there is no there, meaning you don't get to a place where you're not going to be bettering your best. There's no arrival point where, oh, I'm done with this. Okay, great. You always need to be in this place of bettering your best. Otherwise, you're not growing, you're dying. Okay? There's no two ways about that. Okay, back to decisions now. The strongest, most powerful decisions are made based on desire, really, truly wanting something. You must want something more than the fears you have about doing the work to achieve it or changing or growing or bettering your best or letting go of things that no longer serve you but you're attached to. Your desires have to be stronger than all of that. Let's say you want to double your income, but it's not tied to anything that you really want. It's just kind of a random thing that you've chosen, or maybe it was something you heard someone else say. That's not going to be a strong enough motivation to cause your creative powers to kick into gear, much less get you over your fears of taking the next level action, okay? Now, if doubling your income was like this strong download and the thing that you really want, please don't discount that, okay? I only use that as an example if it wasn't something that you truly wanted. Now, sometimes fear can be a great motivator as well. Have you ever noticed how if you reach a certain place, like you can't pay your bills, it activates you. Or sometimes, have you ever had that experience of you reach a certain weight, you've gained some weight, you reach a certain weight, it's incrementally going up, and suddenly you reach a certain level and you're like, how the heck did I get here? This is unacceptable anymore. It becomes unacceptable for you. That happened to me at one point. And I was like, wow, this is not okay anymore. Or you don't want to disappoint someone or lose face. Like you've said you're going to do something and you're just not willing to show up that way to someone else. So that's a little bit of fear, but it's motivating you. You can see these as fears or, and here's a little nugget for you, desires cloaked in fears. That's kind of a next level way of thinking about it. There is always a desire embedded in a fear. You fear the shame of not paying your bills, but you want to pay your bills on time. You want to be someone who's always good to their word. Okay? You fear perhaps the judgment of others if you gain weight or health issues involved with carrying extra weight. But you desire to love and accept yourself. Or you desire the love and acceptance of others. Probably both are true there. Or to feel great in your body or be in perfect health, right? These are the desires embedded in the fears. And your desires, your fears might be different. This is the polarity of desire and fear. And you have to ask yourself, which side are you going to activate? Which side? So if you're going to do something, know your motivation. Make sure you want it badly enough. And then make a clear commitment to yourself. By when and what does done look like? You have to know what success is. You have to have your GPS set to an exact place. Wishy-washy, I want to make lots of money. That's not so much money. Who knows how much money? Maybe lots of money is, you know, $20 three times a week, okay? What is lots of money? You got to be super clear. Do you want to fantastic lit up relationship? What does that look like? Okay, be super clear. What does done look like? Okay, and of course, you're going to have next level goals and dreams and desires. So when I say done, I don't mean you're done creating or manifesting or growing or becoming more. I'm saying, what does this particular desire look like? Decide on that. And then even more importantly than that, you need to take massive, immediate, consistent, continuous action. And immediate is very quickly. It's now, this minute, not later, not when the kids are asleep, not when the stars align, not when you have a little bit more time. It's like you pick up the phone now, you take the action now, you make the announcement now, you have the conversation now. Not later, not in 5 minutes, now. Everything happens now, okay? Now, you don't have to be spun out about it. You can do that in a very orderly fashion. But putting things off is a way of staying in indecision. Do not do that. And this immediate action, if you really want to get leverage over yourself, it must be a big, bold action that you can't weasel out of. And you know what it is, okay? Go do it, okay? And then back it up with ongoing commitment and take that consistent, continuous action. Don't let yourself off the hook. Don't listen to the stories. Know what you need to do every day and go do it.
Okay, I'm Amira Alvarez. Rock it out and be unstoppable.
Thank you so much for joining us and for being part of the Unstoppable Woman Movement. This special series is a part of our Morning Mindset Club and comes to you here on the podcast every Saturday morning. If you'd like to join the Morning Mindset Club at no charge, you won't have to wait a whole week and can listen to this series in short daily snippets every morning. Plus, you'll get a quick implementation practice and mastery check-in to go along with it. You can find the Morning Mindset Club info in the show notes below, or just head over to theunstoppablewoman.com/mindsetclub. And as always, please share this podcast with two or three women who are ready for exponential growth and exponential wealth. And if you're game, we always appreciate a review on iTunes. That really helps us reach and elevate more women. Thanks so much, and be unstoppable.